How are you? And then it's been awesome 4 years. Awesome 4 years. And an awesome 36 years married, right? 37? Okay, we'll do 37. That sounds good. I'll take 37. My beautiful wife. Behind every good man, there's a great woman. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for my wife. Because it was my mother that put up with me, and now it was my wife that puts up with me. So I thank God for that. Hallelujah. 4 years at Calvary Gospel. God has done great things, mighty things, many things. I'll tell you, if you're looking for a church and you don't have a home church, I'm not trying to recruit you. If you have a home church and you're happy, you stay there. Get the Word of God in you. But Lord, if you're looking for a church that preaches the word, that's going to love you as a church, and we have ministries. We just don't have ministries just to occupy time. I just want to put a little plug in. Because we have a lot of busy people, but they come here, our leaders and of our ministries, because they love you, they love your children. And so if you're looking for a church, man, seek Calvary Gospel, because I think it's a great church. And I just want to thank God for 4 years here. He has just multiplied blessings. People's lives have changed. And we're just going to continue to move and get into the community and continue to change lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. Palm Sunday. Wow. Palm Sunday. And there's a lot going on in the scriptures for Palm Sunday. And when you... The title of my message this morning is Rejoice, Rejoice. And you wouldn't think that on Palm Sunday, because, man, there's a lot going on Palm Sunday when Jesus was riding in on a donkey into Jerusalem, and a lot was happening, and he knows where he's going. And his face, the Bible says in Luke chapter 9, his face is towards Jerusalem. Wow, that's a whole nother message. Actually, I was going to preach that message, and God changed it up a little bit. But you think about it. His face is towards Jerusalem. Pastor Tom, rejoice? Man, that wasn't a rejoicing time on Palm Sunday. But we're going to learn that God's whole goal for you and I is rejoice, is to rejoice in Jesus. And what he's done. Palm Sunday, there was a lot of tears. There was a lot of cheers as he entered Jerusalem. They were looking for a king that was going to take care of them, that was going to overthrow the Roman Empire, and the conqueror has come. Victory has come. The king has come, and he's going to save us, and he's going to do all these things. And 3 or 4 days later, they're crucifying him. Can you imagine that? I always wonder how it would be. One day you're just saying, praise God, Hosanna, the King is here. And then 3 or 4 days later you're saying, crucify him, crucify him. Jesus went through a lot. And he went through a lot for you and I. And I love that song, that he pursues us. I want to say it one more time. No matter how young you are, how old you are, God is pursuing you with a purpose to love you. He's pursuing you with a purpose to love you. When Jesus entered, when Jesus entered Jerusalem publicly for the last time, he was fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. I tell you, when you start reading the Old Testament, Jesus is all through the Old Testament. I mean, all through the Old Testament. Zechariah 9:9 talks about it. John 12:15 says, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey." Matthew 21 says the same thing. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah tells us about the meaning of Palm Sunday in the fulfillment in Jesus. This is all about Jesus. And God inspired Zechariah 500 years before Jesus even shows up. He prophesied. God gives him this word in Zechariah 9:9. Can you imagine that? 500 years before, He gives this word, and we're gonna talk about it this morning. But God's final goal, I want you to hear this. God's final goal, God's plan for all of us is to have joy. Is to rejoice. I mean, you know, if we could boil this down, I mean, there's a lot of things about Jesus, what he has for us, and, you know, his love, and we talk about it. But in that love, I want you to catch this today. I want to remind you, you're not here by an accident. I don't even care if your parents dragged you here this morning. You're not here by an accident. Thank you, parents. I don't care if parents dragged your, or kids dragged your parents here. You're here because God wants to speak to you this morning. And of all the things that God is and who he is and what he does, this morning we want to talk about God wants you to rejoice. And that's sometimes hard for believers to rejoice. And so the Scripture talks about it. Scripture says we rejoice in the glory of God. We rejoice in knowing God. It says rejoice because our names are written in the book of life. Jesus said, rejoice when they persecute you because your reward is in heaven. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. I mean, God wants us to be happy. And sometimes when you look at believers, they are sometimes the most unhappiest people. And so God's constantly saying, and this is Palm Sunday, you know, and we've read the story, and you say, how can you rejoice in what Jesus went through? Jesus says, please rejoice in what I went through because I did it for you. And so he wants us to be joyful. This is a recurring theme throughout the whole Bible. All through Scripture, it talks about rejoicing. It's not an option. Hallelujah. Rejoicing is not an option. Okay, when you come to Calvary Gospel, we're going to check off boxes. I'm going to give my offering. I'm going to actually serve in Kids Connect. Rejoice. Oh, that box is no. Well, you don't have an option. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and all that he's done for us, all through the Scripture, joy, rejoice, is not an option. And it's not determined by your circumstances. Wow. It's not determined by your circumstances. So let's go to the Scriptures. Let's go to Zechariah 9:9. Hallelujah. I think you got the hint of where we're going. Rejoice, church. Rejoice, church. The joy of the Lord is our strength, knowing Christ as our personal Savior. Hallelujah. Zechariah 9:9 says, here we go. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt. Hallelujah. The foal of a donkey. Praise God. Hallelujah. John 12:14. Let's go to John 12:14. He says the same thing in John 12:14. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey. Hallelujah. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. And so Zechariah talks about it. He says, the first thing he says, you know, we are living under a lot of pressure, right? I mean, think about it. You just look at your life and look at what's happening around us, all the world around us. We are living under a lot of pressure. And we come here on Palm Sunday, and the word of the Lord is telling us to grow in joy. So the first thing that God's saying to us is rejoice because your king has come. So the number one thing I want you to catch, your king has come. Hallelujah. That gives us something to rejoice about. Your king has come. Oh, come on. I don't see you guys smiling or nothing. Your king has come. Hallelujah. Zechariah even says it. Rejoice greatly. Your king. 500 years before Jesus shows up, he goes, God goes to Zechariah and says, hey, you tell Israel, your king is coming. Praise God. We have the benefit to know that our king has come. So we rejoice in that our king has come. Acts 2:17 says, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Hallelujah, let's do that again. Your king has come, and there's prophesying in Acts. It says, and it shall come to pass in the last days. God will pour out his spirit. Hallelujah. Why can he pour out his spirit? Because our king has already come. Hallelujah. And so he's pouring out on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Hey, does anybody see an age limit there? Come on. Does anybody see an age limit? Does it say from 35 to 55? Does it say from 12 years old to 75. No, it says old men, young men, men, women, they're going to dream, they're going to prophesy. He's going to pour out his spirit. I look at these young girls here, over here, and so there's no age limit to what God wants to do in your life. You know, don't wait to say, okay, now you can do something from your parents. You need to dream dreams. You need to prophesy. You need to look at God and say, God, what do you have for me? Pastor Tom said there's no age limit. And I'm not going to pick on the oldest person here. But think about it. Church, we got these little babies. You start prophesying over these little babies. You start praying for them that they would go into their school systems at a young age. Because why? Not because my daddy prayed over me, but my daddy and mommy prayed over me because God said, I shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Why? We rejoice because our king has come. Praise God. A king that makes people happy is coming. You ever hear that before? A king that makes people happy is coming. We've been taught for too many years, the king that makes people angry, that makes people sad, that makes people, that judges people, that if you're not good enough, no, that's not what the Bible says. My king is coming who makes us happy. He says, rejoice, praise God. Praise God. Zechariah is looking forward to the coming of Jesus. We are living after the cross, and so we get to rejoice. We know the end of the book. Zechariah didn't know the end of the book. We know the end of the book. That's why we rejoice. Our king has come. God has sent his son into the world. If we belong to Jesus, Galatians 4 says, not only has God sent his son into the world, but he has put his spirit in our hearts. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why we rejoice. You never have to face a struggle alone. Hallelujah. Why? Because our King has come. You never have to face a struggle alone because our King has come. That's why we rejoice. He is for you, not against you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Hallelujah. Our King has come. Number two, we rejoice because your King is righteous. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we serve a righteous King? He will stand victorious on the side of right, on the side of the innocent and the faithful, on the ones who have stood true to God's word. He is the champion of justice. That's our God. We rejoice because he is righteous. Hallelujah. For some of us who have experienced injustice, we've all experienced injustice. We've all experienced hurt. We've all experienced being offended. We've all experienced some kind of emotional, sometimes, hurt. You know, people have, there's been mistrust, and we've all experienced that. But guess what? The Bible says, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Hey, don't take that upon yourself. We serve a righteous... See, I want you to catch this, because once you catch this, you don't have to be offended. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be disappointed. Yes, sometimes we do get disappointed, but when we look at it and we go back to us, wait a minute, I remember Pastor Tom preaching this message on a Sunday morning, that way we rejoice because our King is righteous. Hallelujah. Praise God. Vengeance is his. He's going to take care of things in the final days. See, we lose our joy when we experience injustice in our life, you know? But we don't have to experience injustice. We don't have to lack joy. Once we know and understand that, wait a minute, my God is righteous. He is just. He is righteous. He stands up for those whom the world thought were crazy in their commitment to loving God. You think about it. You know, we look, you know, Christians look, people look at us as believers and Christians and say, wow, you're crazy to love God. You're crazy to love God. Why am I crazy to love God? He sent his son on the cross to die for you and I. That his love pursues me. He's righteous. Hallelujah. He's coming back for me. He's prepared a place for me. Hallelujah. You can call me crazy. But I always tell everybody, if I live this life and I was wrong, what did I lose? Think about it. And then I tell the person, if I am right and you are wrong, what do you lose? And I tell people, oh man, I should have partied harder. Well, I mean, I just ask myself sometimes when people come up to me, man, don't, what if you're wrong? What if you're wrong, Pastor Tom? It's like, okay, let me think about this. I should have took more drugs. I should have drank more. I should have cussed more. I should have cheated more. I should have gambled more. I mean, let's go on. I should have been more angry. I should have been more resentful. I should have been more hateful. I should have more pride. What do you want me to have if I am wrong? And I've had people look at me and go, yeah, you're right. What, like, where do you want to go? Even if we are wrong in this, I have to live then a different life. But my God is righteous and he's just. Hallelujah. Trust God. He is just. There's freedom in joy. There's freedom knowing that he is righteous. Hallelujah. He is righteous. Number three. This is what Palm Sunday is all about. When the Bible says in Luke 9 that Jesus had his face set to Jerusalem. We're going to preach on that someday. His face was set to Jerusalem. Why? Because of all this for you and I. This is what Palm Sunday is all about. He's humble. That word humble means he's gentle. I guess in here it says lowly is the word in the Greek. And that means humble, gentle. It also means afflicted. Jesus was without sin, but Jesus was not without suffering. Jesus suffered. He suffered. Jesus has experienced everything we will experience. He knew temptation. I want you to hear this. I mean, this is Jesus is really, you know, putting this right on the line today with this scripture. He says, hey, rejoice. And I'm going to tell you why, Calvary Gospel, you need to rejoice and be happy. Because he's experienced everything that we will ever experience. He experienced temptation. He's experienced poverty. He's experienced frustration. He's experienced weariness. He's experienced disappointment. He's experienced rejection. He's experienced sorrow. He's experienced ridicule. He's experienced loneliness. Where do you fit into any one of those things in your life or had in your life? Jesus has had it. He goes, rejoice greatly because of I've been afflicted with all those same things. And I understand what you're going through. Your king, it says, had no place to lay his head in the scriptures. And it also says that he wept at the gravesite of Lazarus. Tell me one thing Jesus hasn't gone through. That's why he says today on Palm Sunday, rejoice greatly. Because your king has gone through that. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. That's why he says, church, Calvary Gospel, rejoice, because I took it. Rejoice greatly. He comforts in his compassion because he understands the things that we go through. Jesus says, a bruised reed I will not break. He knows what it is to be bruised. Jesus knows what it is to be bruised. I like what Luke 4:18 says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Hallelujah. Jesus says, rejoice, Calvary. Rejoice greatly, because I've been through it for you. I understand what you're going through. Hallelujah. There's freedom when we know that our Jesus is gentle and he's humble. Hallelujah. Number four, he says, rejoice, our King brings peace. This is all in one verse, in verse 9 of Zechariah. Peace. Jesus is our peacemaker. Hallelujah. Man, if you take one of these are like the streams of joy. And maybe you understand a few of these, but take one of these before you go today and say, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to jump into the stream of righteousness because my Jesus is righteous. Jump into the stream of, hey, my King is gentle. I need that in my life. And he's a peacemaker. He rides on a donkey, which represents peace. If a king comes to war, he would be riding on a horse. But our king comes riding on a donkey because he brings peace. Luke 19:41 says, and when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that even today you knew the things that make for peace. Hallelujah. 41. He's our peacemaker. He's our peacemaker. Zechariah is showing us Jesus is coming as the Prince of Peace. So, do you need that in your life? Do you need peace? Rejoice greatly, because Jesus can give that to you. Sometimes we don't want to get too close to God because we feel he's out to get us. You know, we've taught on that so much here that, you know, I always say how I grew up. You know, I struggled sometimes. I felt God was always there. If I got a headache... I'm just telling you. If I got a headache, I would look back, oh, I must have did something wrong. God gave me a headache. I mean, I actually thought that. When you think God's out to get you, then anything that's negative in your life, you attribute it to God. But thank God, our God is not a God that's out to harm us. He's pursuing us with his love. And so sometimes we don't want to get too close to God. We have this, he's God. But Pastor Tom, he's God. He ain't going to do anything but love you. He's coming back to judge us when he comes back. Right now, he's coming to love us. And John 3:17 says that. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that world might be saved through him. He came to save you and I. Hallelujah. He's a peacemaker. And when you walk with Jesus, he ordains your steps. He orders them. And he orders them out of love and compassion and mercy and grace. Hallelujah. He's our peacemaker. Rejoice. Your King brings peace. He's saying, I'm approachable. You can find rest for your souls. I'm not against you. I am for you. I did not come to condemn you. He says he comes to love you. He loves you. Hallelujah. This is what Palm Sunday's all about. When you think about it, you know, they were looking for a king that would suffice their physical needs. Oh, overthrow the Roman Empire and, you know, give us a better life, give us a better world. And Jesus is saying, I've come to give you a better heart. I've come to give you a better heart. I've come to be your friend. I come to be your king and Lord and Savior. I've come. He says, I come on behalf of God to reconcile you to him, to make peace between you and your maker. He's come to reconcile us back to God, his Father. How could you not rejoice? You have to be able to understand God is here, and he's saying, rejoice, your King has come. He went to the cross so we could have peace with God. He is our Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. I think you should, again, I always say, Max, after we have them all up, leave it up. Take your phones out. Take a picture of it, because I know you're never going to remember. I get to go back to my notes. If you're not taking notes, you're going to say, oh, that was a great service. I came for Palm Sunday. I did my job. No, take a picture of it. You know, you go back to your phone when you're sitting there in your office and your boss is screaming and yelling in your ear. You say, wait a minute. My King has come. Hallelujah. I rejoice because my King is righteous. I rejoice because my King's a peacemaker. I rejoice because my King is gentle. We have to. We have to understand. Rejoice. And Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Right? He says, in this world, the scripture says, you're going to have trouble. Then he says, but don't let your hearts be troubled. It wasn't Jesus always like, you know, he says something and then he says something else. He says something, it's like, Jesus, where are you going with this? But in the middle of that, this is what he brings, that brings both those things together. In the world, you're going to have trouble, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Why? Because he says, my peace I give to you. Hallelujah. That's why we're rejoicing today. He's not saying, oh, once you become a believer and you follow me, it's a perfect life. It's a bed of roses. It is going to be perfect. It is going to be good. You're never going to have a problem. You're never going to have a disappointment. Oh, man, you're never going to be discouraged. You're going to just be on top of the world. You're going to have everything. Jesus doesn't say that. You're going to have trouble, but don't let your hearts be troubled. Why? Because I come to give you peace. My peace, he says. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why we're rejoicing. Praise God. That's why we're rejoicing. We can rejoice. God wants us to rejoice because he's done it all. I always say it, the cross, he's done it. When he said it was finished because we get to do this, rejoice in our King. Number five, rejoice, your King has salvation. Having salvation, that word means save, be delivered, be liberated. Hallelujah. We rejoice because our King brings salvation. What it means is because of his death and his resurrection, the grave could not hold him. So the grave cannot hold us. Hallelujah. We are alive in Christ. We have died in Christ. We are alive in Christ. We're raised up in Christ, the Bible says. We rejoice because of his salvation. Hallelujah. Because of his resurrection, we are resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. Our spirits are there. When we pass away, our spirits are there. And in the last days, our bodies are going to meet and we're going to be back with Jesus, whole. Completely whole, completely healed. There is no sickness. There is no dying. There is no crying. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57, this is a great verse. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Next. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Next. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? Hallelujah. We know Jesus. Hallelujah. We rejoice because the King has brought us salvation through his shed blood. We rejoice in that. Hallelujah. Death can't hold us anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. The future, Jesus is coming. In verse 10, we're going to read verse 10 of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10. This is the future. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. He's prophesying Jesus' second coming. He's prophesying Jesus' second coming. Zechariah first was talking about what Jesus has already done when he first came, and then he talks about his second coming. So number six, we rejoice because our King will reconcile the nations. When he comes back for the second time, he is bringing peace to this earth. He is reconciling the nations, Zechariah says. He's reconciling. When he returns his power and his glory, he will proclaim peace in the nations. That's what the Bible says. And number seven, the last one. This is our future. This is why we're rejoicing. Rejoice because your king will reign forever. Hallelujah. Forever. His dominion, it says, from sea to sea and to the ends of the earth. When Zechariah spoke these words about Israel, was much in trouble. Their enemies were all around. When God gave this prophecy to Zechariah, they were in trouble. The enemies were constantly in battle with Israel. And he gives them this prophetic word, and he's speaking it to us today. He goes, you know, the king will reign forever. Hallelujah. He's coming back, church, for you and I. He's coming back for a church. He's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for you and I. That's why we rejoice. We're not rejoicing hoping he comes back. We're not rejoicing because hopefully he'll bring peace to the nations. We're not rejoicing because, you know, we're going to take a chance at this. I'm not rejoicing because I'm going to try to live my life, you know, because, you know, I read a few scriptures. No, I'm rejoicing because I believe this by faith in the prophetic words that were spoken in the Old Testament over and over and over again leads us to Jesus. There's no way that after reading the Old Testament and reading the New Testament, reading these scriptures, how Jesus put this all together, how God put this all together 500 years. If you just took this 500 years before Jesus came, that's why I'm serving my God. That's why I'm rejoicing. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Hallelujah. But he told them, rejoice. You can trust God. I challenge you this morning. Trust God. I challenge you. Trust God. Jesus is saying that to us today, no matter what you're going through, no matter what is going on around you, trust him. Trust him. This is what Palm Sunday's all about. He had his face to Jerusalem, it says. Why? Because he wanted this message to be preached to you and I. Rejoice. Rejoice. Don't wait till you get better. Well, Pastor Tom, you know, I'm going to rejoice once things kind of straighten out in my life, once I kind of, you know, fix some of the messes I got. What does the Bible say for you to fix your mess? I mean, Jesus wouldn't have came and shed his blood if you could fix your mess. Man, I wish I could fix my mess. And then I look at my mess, and I'm going, it took you, Jesus, to fix my mess. That's what he's saying to Calvary. It's okay. I fixed your mess at the cross. But you got to receive it. Stop beating yourself up because you're waiting to get better. You will get better with Jesus because Jesus will take care of it. Jesus will take care of it. I don't save you. I don't heal you. I don't fix your problems. Your neighbor doesn't fix your problems. Your neighbor doesn't heal you. Jesus heals you. Jesus saves you. Jesus came for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why we're rejoicing. One last scripture. John 12:15. Let's go to John 12:15. So he's quoting Zechariah. And then so scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave this to John as this is being written, as he's speaking this. He starts off the same verse in John 15. Let's read it. I want you to say this. I want you to hear this. I want you to say this. John says, same scripture as Zechariah, but he says what first? Come on. One more time. One more time. Hallelujah. Rejoice greatly. And then John says, fear not. Oh, man, this is getting good. There's another message. John starts with fear not. Fear not. He not only brings joy, But my Jesus brings deliverance. Fear not. This is what Palm Sunday's all about. Hey, man, that was awesome, Pastor. You gave me, I think it was seven things of to rejoice in. But what about, I love it. Let's go to John 12. Yeah, there it is. He's coming. He's righteous. He's humble. He's a peacemaker. Salvation. He's reconciling the nation. He's going to reign forever. That's great, Pastor Tom. But what about Monday morning when I get up? Well, let's go to John 12. Fear not. Fear not. Oh, hallelujah. Don't get me going. Don't get me excited. Because I know we ought to go home and eat our ham and our sweet potatoes and anything else you're cooking. But this is good cooking. This is good food, man. Fear not. Knowing this King will not just bring you joy, He will bring you deliverance from fear. Hallelujah! That's got to get you excited. Come on, church. Rejoice. Fear not, our King says. God before us, who can be against us? He will never leave you or forsake you. Never, 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 never. If He does, then He's a liar. And I don't think my God has lied yet, as far as I know. So I'm going to leave you with this. Palm Sunday. This is probably one of the messages you've never heard. Pastor preach on Palm Sunday, rejoice. Rejoice. I remember the story of Jesus riding on a donkey and everyone just praising Him, and then they crucified Him. That's okay. They crucified Him so that the King is coming back. My King is righteous. But I'm going to leave you with this. This King who came in humility to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey of peace, now reigns in heaven. And he commands peace to all the nations. He's there sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He's interceding for you and I. Hallelujah. There is no people or tribe or tongue or nation excluded from this command to make peace with God through Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care the color of your skin. I don't care where you're from, where you were born. I don't care about your ancestry. Not that I don't care. You know what I'm saying. Jesus said, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you were brought up in a what we call on the other side of the tracks. Hey, I didn't have a good life. I was poor. I mean, I had to, you know. That's okay. Because a few years of your life doesn't compare to eternity with Jesus. And my God is going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. This is for all. So I just leave you with this question. Here's the question. Is He your King? Is He your King? Is He what you thought He should be? Is He what you hoped He should be? Or will you receive Him as who He is? He's the King. 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 Is He your King today? Let's stand. We'll close. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're just going to ask this congregation the question we just asked. Is He your King? Jesus wants to know, am I your King? And if I'm not your King, let's just close our eyes. We're just going to pray, close in prayer. If He's not your King, then you need to make Him your King today. You need to make Him your King today. And that's simply saying, Lord, I know I need You, that You came for me as a sinner. You came for me, Lord, and I repent of all the sins I've done. Why? Because You have forgiven me of all of them. And so repent means I change my mind. I change 180 degrees. I no longer am not serving you. I am serving you today. I'm calling you out and saying, Lord, be my king. Be my king, my Lord and Savior. If you've never said that, you get to say that. And you do that. And you acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior and your king. Because he's coming back. And he wants to take you home with him. Hallelujah. Lord, for the rest that have already received you, Lord, there's times when we walk through life that we need all these things in our life. We need you as our righteous king. We need you as our gentle king. Hallelujah. We need you as our peacemaker. Hallelujah. God, that we would open up our hearts and just look at these things that you are. You're the king. You're the king. You're the king. We need you every day, Lord. God, we just say thank you, Father, for who you are, for what you've done. You don't change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so all these things, the seven things that we talked about in one verse, actually two verses, two verses. Lord, if that's the only page we had, we can walk with you. And we thank you for that. Bless this Calvary Gospel. Bless this church, Lord. God, that we would become a church hungry and on fire for you, understanding that you are our king and that you go before us. You go before us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Good to see everybody. Come downstairs and fellowship with us.